The VPM Daily Newscast is sponsored by Kanawha Capital Management. Your financial life is unique, complex, and dynamic. Kanawha Capital Management's team of credentialed professionals has been helping its clients build wealth and confidence through personalized planning and informed investing since 1989. Learn more at cancap.com. That's K-A-N-C-A-P.com.
You're listening to the VPM Daily Newscast, the recap of today's top stories in Central Virginia.
From the VPM Newsroom in Richmond, I'm Kim Strother. Legislation going back to the General Assembly this week could help pave the way for small modular nuclear reactors in Virginia. Patrick Larson has more.
Dominion Energy and Appalachian Power want to explore small modular nuclear reactors to help meet state clean energy requirements. Bipartisan legislation would let companies request that ratepayers foot the bill for early development work. Governor Glenn Youngkin amended the bills with some ratepayer protections. Nonprofit Appalachian Voices doesn't oppose nuclear power, but is opposing these bills, pointing to a failed SMR in Idaho. Here's Director of Energy Policy Peter Anderson.
Dominion or Appalachian Power could charge their customers hundreds of millions of dollars with absolutely no guarantee that customers ever receive any electricity.
Bernie McNamee, a McGuire Woods consultant, spoke on Dominion's behalf at a February hearing on one of the bills, where he said North Carolina had already passed a similar law.
And it's an effective way to help make sure that the utilities can keep planning for the future to meet future needs for the economy and for the needs of the customers.
Lawmakers reconvene Wednesday. Patrick Larson, VPM News.
4th District Richmond School Board member Jonathan Young has stepped down after serving on the panel since 2016. The departure follows the release of an independent report exploring Young's interactions with a 15-year-old student during a school event, according to multiple news outlets. The report said his behavior didn't violate any specific school policies, but was deemed, quote, awkward. Young has denied any wrongdoing. The board will appoint a replacement who will serve the remainder of his term. The seat will be on the ballot in November. Clothing creators, jewelry makers, and models are on tap to celebrate Richmond Fashion Week starting Monday, April 22nd. The week-long event dives into emerging designers, trends, and what's hot for spring, according to 12 On Your Side. Different shows will highlight handcrafted accessories, interactive art, and wellness at various locations around Richmond. An awards gala on the 27th will give out prizes for design, beauty, photography, and rising stars. To see a full list of events and purchase tickets, go to rvafw.com. Richmond is responding to the recent sharp increase in gun violence affecting city public schools. 8 students have been shot since March 31st, and 4 have died. On Monday, Superintendent Jason Camras said that has had a profound effect on all RPS communities.
Think about the impact that has across friends and family members and teachers. Our community, our schools, they are hurting. And they should be focused on the SOLs, which we're giving in 2 weeks. And instead, many of them this morning and last week and tomorrow are holding grief sessions. Because that's what we do. We will always stand in the gap for our kids.
Richmond Police Chief Rick Edwards has implemented an 11 p.m. curfew for minors starting yesterday. An Albemarle County middle schooler will represent the region at the Scripps National Spelling Bee later this spring. The Daily Progress reports Claire Mang, a Lakeside middle seventh grader, correctly spelled the word ad nauseum, which means something that is repeated so much it becomes annoying, to win. Mang will compete at the three-day National Spelling Bee, hosted at National Harbor in Maryland, starting May 28th. Legislators are preparing to consider actions taken by Governor Glenn Youngkin today. He vetoed a record number of bills, which cut out hundreds of millions of dollars of funding for Democratic priorities. He also suggested hundreds of state budget changes and is pitching those as a common ground budget. VPM News' Jad Khalil spoke with Youngkin about how he built his budget proposal and what comes after.
Governor, you call this the common ground budget, and my understanding of it is that you looked at what the Democrats and the General Assembly sent you, took out the tax hikes that they asked for, took out the funding for bills that you vetoed, like the higher minimum wage, and then added some funding that you found or restructured. And now you're proposing spending relatively less on what the Democrats were proposing to you, plus a little bit of what you wanted. How accurate would you say that summation is?
I think that's a very good summation. If I could just to add two thoughts to it. So first of all, we don't need to raise taxes. The Virginia economy is doing well, and that provides us adequate, if not plenty of resources in order to fund a $64 billion budget. When the General Assembly sent over a very large tax increase, I felt that there was a first step to find common ground and no tax increases. And I will at least put on the sideline my advocacy for tax decreases. So that's our first big step. That $64 billion of funding accomplishes the vast array of objectives that were sent over by the General Assembly. There was $850 million of priority projects and investment that were taken out, and I only put $230 million of that back. With that said, when you take the $1 billion of tax cuts that I had in my introduced budget, plus that over $600 million of spending capacity, it gave me an incredible amount of resources to go work towards the General Assembly priorities. Really, it ended up being about $400 million out of a $64 billion budget. And one of the areas that I feel like we've, again, can find common ground is, you know, our priority spending in education, a $1.2 billion increase from the last biennium, which really does meet our objectives. Direct funding.
Could I ask you?
Yep.
Sorry, Governor. Could I just ask you a bit about sort of, there's a few different ways that you can compare the budget to either the last biennium or the budget that the Democrats sent you. I was looking at the numbers from the Department of Planning and Budget that came out. The direct aid compared to the conference report was something like $485 million less for direct aid. Is that, can you talk about why that number is meets our needs and how you got to that?
Out of that $480 million, when the sales tax expansion and tax increases go away, really leaves just over $300 million that is an adjustment from the conference report. And there is a very constructive bipartisan joint subcommittee on the funding formula in progress right now. They're going to work during the summer. They have reports due next fall. Increases in spending are targeted towards these most important areas, like at-risk and like English language learners. They're just done on the old funding formulas and not on the new ones. Lastly, and I have one last detail.
Sure, go ahead.
Is the last component that kind of make up the biggest part of this $300 million is in childcare. Our introduced budget had a doubling of childcare support. And so the net of this is there are massive increases in K through 12 support. And I look forward to the good work coming out of this joint subcommittee of our General Assembly.
Governor, I got just two more questions. One of the issues that seems to matter to you the most is Virginia's participation in the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, which is a carbon market that looks to reduce emissions. And you wrote a budget amendment that struck from the budget that would require us to rejoin REGI. So some of the people that I've talked to say that that might not be constitutional, but the law has kind of a gray area there. Can you describe how you got to the point that that is a sound way to propose that specific budget change?
Can I just begin with the fact that the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, as constructed in Virginia, doesn't work to give people incentives to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. It's just a tax. That's exactly what Dominion described it as. All they do is they buy credits, and then they pass those credits on to consumers, with consumers having no say. And therefore, it doesn't influence anything other than increase electricity bills. I have felt that, in fact, our effort for resiliency and, of course, more affordable, more accessible, and more reliable and increasingly clean power is something that we should do on a transparent basis, as opposed to suggesting something that REGI is that it's not.
I guess what my question was more getting at is if you're making a budget amendment in which you're just removing one of the conditions as opposed to an entire item, that can look like a veto to somebody else. On the other hand, you know, you have the legislature kind of putting policy into the budget and kind of sending it to you. So this is sort of what I'm getting at in terms of the governor's prerogative to make amendments versus the legislature's powers.
Well, it's fully within my constitutional authority, clearly, in order to amend, which is what I've done here, but also to veto this item. And this item could be subject to a line item veto. I went with an amendment because I do believe that this is a place we can find common ground. No tax increases. We, in fact, can fund a $64 billion budget that meets the vast array of the General Assembly's priorities without raising taxes. This is a great opportunity for us to come together on common ground.
When we spoke after the State of the Commonwealth, you said that a tax increase isn't something that interests you. You're talking about Reggie as a tax increase. What are the circumstances that would cause you to veto the budget and therefore call a special session?
So I know everybody's focused on what next. Let me just be really clear. What I am very hopeful as to what is next is a collaborative process. I think that's what Virginians expect from us. We can continue to be on time in a regular way with a clean budget. Let's find common ground. Let's, in fact, not have any changes in tax policy. And then let's use the enormous resources that Virginians enable us to have to put together a $64 billion budget, a record level of priority spending in education and in health and human resources and law enforcement and conserving God's gifts to this planet. We can do all of this without tax increases. And that's what I'm really hopeful, John, that we can do together over the course of the next few days, and particularly when folks come back next Wednesday.
Thank you so much, Governor.
I always appreciate you, and thanks for your commitment to the Commonwealth.
This has been the VPM Daily Newscast.
Some of these stories may have changed since the newscast was recorded. You can stay connected to what matters by heading to vpm.org/news or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at MyVPM.
VPM.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.